Good morning. I'm Becky, and I have the honor and privilege of working with the first through fifth grade kids every week, and I love it. So let me tell you, when I go back there, we pray at the beginning of our time together in Kids Zone, and every time I bow my head to pray at the start of Kids Zone, I am reminded by how much God loves these kids and what an honor and a privilege it is to that he allows me to be a part of their life. And I don't think I've ever felt that way in a church before. I felt like it was a service or a duty or something that you had to do. And I guess as my kids have just about all left the house, and I now understand better that it is not something that I do for them, but that I receive back every week for being able to work with them. So part of what we do in Kids Zone is we allow the kids to rotate around three different sections every week. And one of the groups, we pray with them, and they get to share with us what's on their mind. And so frequently, you should know that if your cat or dog is missing or hurt, we are praying for you. So that's typically the top of the prayer list, is what's going on with their dogs and cats and how badly they want a dog or a cat, or the stray dog and cat in their neighborhood that needs to be fed. We hear all of that. But we many times are also praying for you if you are sick, or if things are going on in with brothers or sisters or whatever. They bring those things and share with us, and we join with them in prayer, and our pastors get their prayer list and continue to pray over those prayer requests throughout the week. And in many ways, we feel like that's the kid version of life group. They come and they share their hearts and what's on their mind, and we take those things before the Lord, and we love it. And they get to know what's going on in each other's life. And many times you'll hear them asking one another, "We prayed for this last week. How was that?" And so it's a beautiful moment. And then they rotate around and they do a Bible story. And we have a multi-year plan, but basically our goal is to introduce them to a broad spectrum in the Old and the New Testament over a 3 to 4 year span. And we cover kings and prophets. We cover the Psalms and Proverbs, the tabernacle, the feasts. We cover Christmas and Easter every year, but we talk about Paul's missionary journeys and the miracles of Jesus. And by the time they finish in Kids Zone, they've had a really good overview. We also ask them many times through the course of the year, when are you reading your Bible at home? Are you reading your Bible when you wake up in the morning or before you go to bed at night? Do you like to read the Bible when you get home from school? Do you like to listen to it on tape? And so they share with us when they're trying to read their Bible. And many times they say, "My mom or my dad reads my Bible to me every morning, or every night before I go to bed." And there have been kids that have come in and said, "I don't have a Bible." And so we send a Bible storybook home with them if they don't have something to read at home. And then the third section that they go to is scripture memory. And every month they practice memorizing scriptures. And so that's what we wanted to show you today, is that they've been working really hard for about a month and a half on a passage of scripture from Philippians. And Sarah has worked very hard with them, and she's going to kind of lead them through this. But we love these kids so much. If y'all, as the Lord brings it to your heart and your mind, they look young, but they also have problems that are very big to them. And they are struggling through who they're going to become and who they're going to grow up to be, and where they fit in this world and where they fit in this church. And so I encourage you to pray for them and to pray for us as we're trying to reach out to them. And if you have a heart for any of the kids back there, from the babies up on up, feel free to speak to me or Dane. We do have areas where we need some help back there. And if you have a heart to be a part of that, we would love to have you. And I promise, God loves them. And when we learn to love the things that He loves, it will return a blessing to you.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind that I feel it.
Philippians 4:4-7.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Becky. Thank you for all the people who faithfully serve in so many areas. What a blessing. What a blessing. Well, this morning, it is Palm Sunday on the church calendar. That means we're proclaiming the King is coming. The King is here, and He's coming again. Amen? In just a little while, we're going to serve communion. We're going to take some time to examine ourselves before we do that. You know, much like last week in Savannah, as Jesus was getting ready to stroll into Jerusalem, the city was in a stir, was in a buzz, because literally on the church calendar, Passover is just in a few days. Right now, Jerusalem is really in a stir, by the way. They're not waiting. They're anxiously anticipating that God's going to do something because the Jews are still looking for their Messiah to arrive. And today we begin a period of celebration where we kind of pinpoint that the King has come, will be coming, and we celebrate that risen life. So I'm going to read that story to you briefly, and we kind of call it Palm Sunday because of what the story says. So John, go ahead and throw it up there. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. This is found in the book of Matthew, by the way. And it says, as they, Jesus and His disciples, as they approached Jerusalem and they came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and He will send them right away. Pause for a second. Do you ever think the disciples were like, please don't pick me, because don't tell him what he's going to send me out to do. Okay, because you know what? We do the exact same thing. All right, so this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. His name was Zechariah. And it says, that's in the Old Testament. Zechariah said, and Matthew is confirming it to his readers, say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. Probably nervous, a little anxious, what's going to happen? They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. So we have Jesus walking in on the colt of a donkey, got some people with Him, and they recognize, hold on a second. I remember in the Old Testament that when we see the one we think's the Messiah coming on the foal of a donkey, that we're supposed to celebrate that. So they do something about it, fulfilling another prophecy of Jesus. The crowds that went ahead of Him and those that followed Him, they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Save now. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Save now. That's what Hosanna means. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. John, just stay there for a moment, okay? So Jesus comes into town. They're recognizing, wait a second, we read this, we were told this since we were small children. The King is coming. And we got to celebrate. He saves now. We're time to celebration. People come from all over the known world to be at Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. It's a big deal, okay? It's a big deal to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. It's a big deal to celebrate the King is coming. Looking forward to the next coming. It's a big deal to be in the presence of the Lord. It's a big deal to know that you're going to live forever. It's a big deal to be a child of the King. You know that? It's a big deal. And it was a big deal to them. It was a big deal to celebrate. He's coming. But what was he coming for? You see, there becomes the conundrum. What was he coming for? Those people that were celebrating, Hosanna in the highest, Jesus is coming. The King is coming. They had mistaken something. They had mistaken his purpose at that time. They couldn't see him as Messiah. They saw him as he's going to establish an earthly kingdom and finally kick out these dirty, rotten scoundrels we call the Romans. And the rest of the world is going to have to bow to us because the King is going to take his rightful place on the throne and he's going to be gone, the other ones. He's going to kick out the fake king. He's going to kick out those posers. He's going to get rid of the ones that don't want to take care of the Israelites. They had seen him as the historical Jesus, not as the Messiah. They knew the stories. Hundreds of prophecies were finally coming to fruition. From the moment he was conceived, up through his birth, up to this time right now. Many, many prophecies. Over and over, they knew something was up. The city was in a stir. Is it fair to say that you had another week of just peace and calm, there was no stir? Adrian, did you show everybody the back of your head? Speaking of a stir, Adrian has three staples in the back of his head. Had a little fun last week. Got a little excited. But did it slow him down? When Adrian was in our life group, I took some time to teach him some of those moves up here. All right. No, really, really, really. All right, I can't today. I'm sorry, I can't. I got the crowd astir this morning. You know this story, I know this story. But I ask you a couple of basic questions. How stale is your relationship with God this morning? Is there any stirring in your heart? Is there any want in the want to anymore? Or is it tomorrow I'm just going to take what I take every single day of my life, and that is, if I live to tell the story, it's a miracle. Because Jesus came for our hearts and eternity. He could have done whatever he wanted coming into Jerusalem that day, but he was obedient to the Father. He was down to the great detail. He says, I love my Father so much, I'm going to do exactly what he says, and the crowd got to witness it. So I want you to understand today, as we get ready to take communion, John's going to throw up some points in just a second. I ask you a simple question. What is Jesus offering you today? What is he placing before you that says, I am offering it to you today? So I give you some things to think about. First of all, he offers himself. He's not holding anything back. This isn't the historical Jesus. This is the living Christ seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. Okay? That scripture that Sarah just led the kids on kids through, which by the way, a few weeks ago, we had a crisis. We spent a long time praying for this one prayer request, Dusty, Rick, and I did. There was one of them that said, somebody's got to stop tickling me. We almost had to fast on that day. Don't you wish the biggest problem in your life was, I wish somebody would stop tickling me. Okay? Himself, he's not holding anything back. His forgiveness. How many of you really walk around feeling condemned? Feeling like the weight of the world is shoving you down because you can't get the burden of guilt off your shoulders? How many of you are walking around today, you've heard the words freedom. You've heard the words God has His yoke and His burden is light, but you feel like your yoke and your burden is so heavy that you really feel like you're just kind of crawling through life. His forgiveness is real. All we have to do is ask. Ask for it. His power to heal your brokenness. Jesus is offering today some power to heal the brokenness. He really is putting Humpty Dumpty back together. He really is the repairer of broken walls. That's a quote from the Old Testament for you. He really is strolling into town today to say, I am the Messiah. And you don't have to be the people next Sunday that have been that waiting for the resurrection, that you can discover the power of the resurrection, the now, the time now. His power to see Him for who He truly is. I just said to you, those people struggled with the historical Jesus only. Did you know they're still struggling with that today? Here in Savannah, they'll be celebrating the Passover. In Jerusalem, millions of people will be gathering in Jerusalem this week leading up to Passover. And they're still going to wonder when He's coming. All we're wondering is, are we ready for the second coming? Get ourselves ready. because we're called to be ready. His power to see who He truly is, the fullness of Him. Dig in. Get hungry. Don't stop with the man on the back of a donkey. Let's stop with the man that's at the right hand of the Father this morning. That's power. That's love. That's life change. His power to connect with God the Father. I suspect that some of you, right there, that might be the biggest struggle you have. Can you see that you have a loving, heavenly, kind, merciful, gracious Heavenly Father? Our view gets skewed, obscured, whatever word you need to do, by the world we live in, maybe by past experiences. But God the Father is an awesome God. He's a mighty God, and He cares about you. I don't think God ever muddles around. I think we kind of muddle around at times. John? Pay attention to this one closely. How about true life? Pure love for God. You know what pure love for God looks like? I'm all in no matter what. I will love you, period. Love for others, a heart for His holiness, and humility of self. I don't know what was on the disciples' minds when they went to get the donkey in its foal. And I don't know what was on the disciples' minds initially as they entered Jerusalem. I suspect they're a lot like us at times in life. They have more questions than they had answers. But there had to be the reckoning one day, and that day was going to come a few days later when it said, wait a second, He is the living Messiah. He is the living Christ. For them, the deadness became life. And they began to see that I can love Him, and that's where it begins. That I can love others, and that I have a heart for holiness. We serve a holy, living God. And that's the standard. Do you understand something today? That He loves with maximum while we're off just living down here loving in the minimum. We're just kind of living down here when God's saying, come on up here. Check my view out when you love with maximum. When you're not looking for strings attached. When you're not looking for something for yourself. You just want to love Him just to love Him. A heart for His holiness and a humility of self. It's interesting to me in that story. Lots of things interesting to me in that story, by the way. But some of the things would be as this. There were people asking questions. And some of the people giving the answers weren't giving the right answers. Because there's people in our culture, in our time, in our day, they're asking questions. They're asking, where do they find hope? Where do they find purpose? Where do they find meaning? Where do they find anybody that will just love me? What kind of answers are we giving? Are we pointing them? Are we directing them? Because it takes a humbling of ourself. The last one I put up there for you today is this. To be totally in love with Him. I'm talking about an agape kind of love. I'm not talking about something you like. I'm not talking about something you kind of feel good about. I'm talking about a love that says, I agape Him and I value Him. You will put your time, money, and resources into the things you value. Into the things you're totally in love with. Guarantee it happens all the time. I realized months ago that Cameron, for those who don't know, that's Kathy and I's only child, biological child, that I tell him all the time I love him. I tell Kathy and him that I love them so much. And I realized a while back something, that he didn't look at me when I told him. So then I've had to start adding another word to the I love you part. You know what that word is? Hey! Hey, so I wonder this for you this morning. How many times has God been saying to you, hey, I love you. Hey, I really love you. And He's just trying to get us a gentle nudge. What do you think coming into town was all about? That was a ride of love. That was an act that said, I'm here to show you how much I love you, not just tell you how much I love you, but to immerse you in my love. You see those things? What is He offering you today? In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to examine your hearts before Him, to examine your minds, to do those kinds of things before the living Christ. We're going to have a ministry time in just a couple of minutes for you to come and pray with the pastors. What is God really stirring in your heart today? What is really on your mind? A few weeks ago, back to the love thing for just a second, when Gary, we sang I Love You, Lord song one Sunday morning. I didn't tell you this part, Gary. I had to text Gary the song. I asked him, I said, Gary, this Sunday I'm going to be preaching. Can we sing I Love You, Lord? And a lot of times I call Gary. His sweet, kind, gentle voice just warms my heart. But today I decided, that day I decided to text him. And here's the whole reason why I texted him. I was back here with my little laptop on some day during the week. And it was up and I had that song on. I was just having a personal time of worship. I was crying so hard that I couldn't talk. If one of you had walked in on me, you'd have thought that something tragic had happened. Really, you would have. I wasn't weeping. Hey, you're not weeping when there's snot involved. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. When there's snot involved, you've gone past weeping. In fact, you might not even be crying at that point. Okay? Kathy's telling me to stop it. Okay. Yeah, but it's going to sound good on the internet. So I had to text Gary in the middle of crying. You know, the two things about that for me that was this. I thought I was worshiping him, but what I realized was is he was telling me, I love you. I love you. I say, I love you, Lord. I say, yeah, I love you. That wasn't a historical moment. That was the Messiah and I spending time together. That was the resurrection. That was the life of Jesus the Christ. That wasn't something you could steal from me by talking me out of it. You can't talk me out of that moment. He was offering to heal the brokenness. He was offering for me to see Him who He truly is. He was willing to connect me with God the Father. And you see that true life? There's a pure love on this side of heaven that I think we long for, that we live for, we've heard about. And God says, I'll give it on this side. We just got to clear the garbage out some days. We got to remove the distractions. And we got to embrace the life that He is offering to be totally in love with Him. So this morning, before John, don't put up the last scripture just yet, John. I can see you're anxious. Where are you? Is Jesus really the Messiah of your life? Be honest now. Do you kind of just like Him? Do you kind of just like the parts you understand? Do you just kind of love the things that sound good to you? Instead of moving down to this end that says, I don't hardly understand much. I don't really know where this is going to take me. I don't really know where I'm going. But I tell you what, I just want to be in love with you. Because this point in life, I've loved some others, and I've loved some of this, and I've some love that, but that's always disappointed me. But you're not going to disappoint me. I'm putting my faith in your trust. You're asking God to show up. So often, our biggest struggle, I think, in asking God to love on us is He's asked us to show up. And we kind of said, not today, Lord. I'm busy. But today's another day to show up and allow Him to love on you. When we get ready to come to this table, you'll hear words like the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. How about the life of Christ that loves you? My last story for you, John, you go ahead and put up that last scripture. My last story for you is this. God will honor the honest cry of a heart. A few years ago, I heard a lady speak. She was from South Africa. She now lives in America. She has an organization that reaches out to young ladies that were sold into human trafficking. She herself was a victim of human trafficking. Okay? But, she's living on the other side of but. But God in His goodness not only rescued her from that, He gave her a husband. He gave her a husband to begin to love her. Knew the story. So He chose to love her with the story. Okay? And they went to a worship service one day. She heard a preacher talk about this Jesus that loves and that heals the broken and loves and offers Himself out of love to heal, to work through forgiveness, to discover true life. And they went home that day and she said, I went to my house and I got down on my knees. God honors the honest prayer. The prayer of a pure, honest to goodness, heartfelt need of God. And this is all she said. God, Jesus, if you are who that preacher says you are, then will you show up right here, right now? And she said, He showed up right there, right then. Now, He didn't manifest Himself physically. He overwhelmed her with the presence of His love. And she began a journey of healing and hope. To now she's moved to America with her husband and they have an organization that ministers to those young ladies. Honesty, want a desire that's only going to be satisfied with the living Christ, God can honor those prayers. So this morning, I'm going to pray for us. We get ready to look at Psalm 103, 11 through 14. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgression from us. So why do we keep digging up our past? As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are but dust. You know what I picture today for us? I'm going to give you an image. Come on, Gary. We should definitely humble ourselves before God. You know, I'm all for that. We need to. We need a humility of the heart. But I picture Him bending down today, picking us up a little bit by the arm, a little bit by the chin, and looking at us and saying, "Child, I love you. I love you. Just embrace that first step. Just embrace that I love you. And watch what happens from that point forward." So I'm going to pray for us. The altar will be open. And then I will let you know when it's time to come for communion. But during communion, the Scripture, it says a man should examine himself. Examine yourself for the lies you've believed. Examine yourself from the disappointments that you've allowed to control your life. Examine yourself for how you desire to love God with a purity. How you need to begin to desire to love Him with a purity. You see, when we serve Him out of love, it changes everything. The King is coming. We celebrate the King's coming the second time. But He is here. The King is here. And we praise Him. So I'm going to just begin this time of prayer. Dusty and Rick and Gene and Audrey and Kathy will be up here for prayer time. And like I said, I'll let you know when it's time to come for communion. But this is just some time to examine yourself or come pray with somebody. So let's just pray. Let's just enter a time of, let's talk to Him a little bit. He loves to hear from His children. Father, I love You, Lord. There's been moments this week that I didn't act like it. I didn't think like it. My heart didn't feel like it. But God, I thank You that You didn't give up. You can't stop loving me. You can't stop loving us. And Lord, in these next few moments, what are You stirring on us? How do we join You this morning? God, help us to allow You to examine the deep crevices. The places where we have those do not enter signs metaphorically hanging. If you've never asked Jesus the Lord and Savior into your life, I'd encourage you to think about this morning. And all you need to do is say, "Jesus, I need You. I need a Savior." I'd encourage you to go pray with one of us or go get somebody else to pray that with you. This time is for you. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. And He said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He also took a cup. After supper, He said, 'This is the cup, and it's the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" It's proclamation time. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself," which I hope you have done that, "then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who drinks or eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself, a holy moment before a holy living God." His standard is holiness. Praise be to God. I'm going to serve these individuals up here. And we'll have a station over there and a station over there. If you need more time at the altar or to go get somebody else to pray for, that's perfectly fine. Okay?
Tuesday. You want to go up there? Okay. Tuesday, Petey's going to have surgery. And a lot of people volunteered when they heard that somebody's going to take a knife to Peter.
Ha ha ha. That's so, his way of surgery.
So, Audrey, come over here. We're going to lay hands on Peter and pray for him. But if you would be praying for him, there are going to be...
Tell them what they're doing. I am Peter.
They're going to take out one of the discs in his back and fuse your neck. Well, that's part of your back, I think. And they're going to go through the front, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's going to last about 4 or 5 hours. So please, let's pray for him
now. And then they're going to put me into rehab for about 3 weeks.
Or as long as I want you to be there.
Okay, if you say so.
All right. Let's pray. Lord, we anoint Peter in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And right now, as we join together as body of Christ praying for our brother, we ask for your healing for his body, that the pain that Peter has been in for a long time now, that through this surgery you will take it away. And Lord, it'll also be all right with us if you just choose to heal it before surgery on Tuesday. We'll put that option on the table too. But God, we're asking you to lift the pain right now in Jesus' name. It's Holy Week. We want to send you out in the authority of God our Father, in the love of Jesus the Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go into the world. Carry the good news with you. We want to see every seat filled next Sunday for people to hear the simple gospel message: He is alive. Sick 'em.